Welcome back to Out of the Hourglass. I'm your podcast host, Molly Nolan. Thank you for joining us. I have a really awesome conversation ahead. Brittany Murphy, the marketing manager at Bloom Consulting. Brittany is a marketing strategist who has years of experience working in not only the trade space, but with other small businesses, with a goal to help folks really use their marketing dollars most effectively. And I asked her to join us today to talk about the difference between SEO and SEM. Two acronyms that we often throw around like we know what they mean, but what do they actually mean and how do they compare to each other? And how do we use them simultaneously? How do we layer? What I learned from this conversation is marketing is a game of layering. Everything complements each other. And no matter where you are, what revenue size, what industry you're in, it's clear from this conversation that you have to be making marketing a focus because it's changing constantly. And if you are not paying attention, you are going to be left behind. So buckle up, buttercup, as Brittany says, and let's hear what she has to say. Okay, let us jump in. I am very excited to welcome Brittany Murphy to today's podcast. Brittany, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Molly. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. It's a good one. We're connecting at the end of March, and I feel like I'm ready to move on from this time of year, and I feel like probably a lot of our listeners are as well. We're ready to jump into the busy season of work, and that hopefully warm weather is coming our way.
Absolutely. That Q1 ramp up.
Yes.
It can kind of be just as nerve-wracking and busy as the actual busy season is at times, I feel like.
So now we just want to do it. We want to get to work. So Brittany, talk to us. It's great to have you on. This is the first time you've been on Out of the Hourglass. So thank you for being here. Please tell our listeners, you know, who you are, what you do, and where you are from.
Yes. So I am Brittany Murphy. I am a marketing strategist with Bloom Consulting Firm. So we actually talked a little bit off stage. I am based in Louisville, Kentucky, which we have quite a few clients in, but our main office is actually in Savannah, which you just visited.
Sure did. Beautiful city.
Beautiful. Yes. So we are kind of spread across, which is great because mainly what we do at Bloom is we help companies of all shape and size really hone in their marketing by starting with strategy first, and then implementing that, making changes and improving, moving forward. So kind of doing the heavy lifting for the contractors. You know, I know that strategizing what you do for marketing and even implementing it is never fun. It's not a sexy job either when you're busy 40, 50 hours a week on your on your business itself. Right. So we really kind of want to help that small and medium sized business get their marketing together, get results from it so they can actually focus on what matters, which is client experience, growing the business. I mean, everything else outside of maybe the not so fun job of what should I be doing? Should I be doing SEO? Should I be running ads? Should I be doing emails? You know, all the questions they can have, we can really help put that together in a strategy and a game plan for them.
There's always so many questions, and that's been something that we consistently hear from our clients. I mean, it's really exciting having you on, and I've had, you know, a couple other marketing experts as well join us because we're really trying to make sure that we make this sector of the business. We show that you have to be doing it. There's a priority to marketing, but really kind of beginning to pull it apart and like, what are all the activities? What do they mean? How do they impact the business? And just provide some like education and context so that business owners and folks on the leadership team can be making decisions with the right information.
Yes. We need that tools at our fingertips.
Correct. So we've talked about on this podcast before. I've had the Darlene and Shannon from Dash Content Collective talking about demystifying SEO. And that was an awesome conversation. And that's I'm really happy that we did that because it kind of leads us nicely into this conversation. Whereas I want to really understand the difference between SEO and SEM. Those are kind of two big pillars of the digital marketing space, and both are important. And it's kind of, you know, it's what's why we are here, because we have to use them both most often simultaneously.
Correct.
Why do you think this is such a common, you know, SEO, SEM? Why is this confusing for most of us out here?
My answer usually comes down to, because it's all acronyms and that's only one letter difference.
So
what does that mean? You know, and that's kind of where, especially, I mean, with the trades, they don't need to get into the acronyms. I mean, we've kind of made this a lot easier for us, but not user-friendly, mm-hmm. which I really hate. So if you don't mind, let's kind of dive into it. SEO versus SEM.
Let's do it.
I want to break down that acronym real quick. SE always stands for search engine. So just to put this in a fifth grade level, so we're all on the same page moving forward, that search mm-hmm. engine is Google, Bing, Yahoo, anywhere you're going to type in keywords or phrases and results are going to pop up. Now, the O versus the M, O, optimization. So you were actually optimizing your website, all of your content, everything you have in Google's eyes. I mean, I'm going to use Google as the main search engine. It's about 95% of what we all use right now. You're optimizing everything for Google's algorithm. So you are really playing into what they want to see. And the quick synopsis is 10 years ago when I first started trying to talk to local businesses about SEO and how important this was and you should invest now, it was so simple. It was a beautiful day back then, you know, 10 years ago.
Time has changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Time has changed. I mean, Molly, 10 years ago, we could write for, you know, a local plumber, you know, plumber, Savannah, Georgia, the best plumbing company in Savannah, Georgia. If you have a home in Savannah, Georgia, call this plumber, the best local plumber in Savannah, Georgia. I mean, you could keyword stuff. That's what it used to be called. Beautiful. I mean, awful content. Let's be honest. No one wants to read that, but your website would rank fairly quickly. Whereas fast forward a decade into the future, Google has gotten so sophisticated. Google is looking to make their visitors, you know, the people who are using their search engine to find mm-hmm. what they're looking for, as happy as possible. So anything you think of when it comes to optimization, you should think that you're trying to get that end visitor's goal in mind. And a quick summary of what that looks like is they are trying to share with people on the internet the best resources and answers possible so that person can find the answer, make a decision, and move forward with it. So that's really where you're gaining trust with the Google gods, is you are delivering good, valuable, trustworthy content and people are absorbing it, taking time, and then going through your website and really building more of that trust because they can see the authority you've built because of the content on your website.
I love how you said the Google gods, because that's how it kind of feels. We're really like playing to what it is that they want to see, what they want to serve, right? At the end of the day. And that becomes so tricky in a space where there's so much competition and everybody, I mean, you're fighting for that real estate on that first page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of comes from you can't do it alone. So that's where I think where SEM comes in, that there's multiple ways that you can continue to kind of build yourself up. But when it comes to SEO, I love how you said the trust and the authority, because mm-hmm. that's what we keep hearing. Those are like the pillars of building your optimization. And so website is number one, making sure you're putting time into your website.
Absolutely. I mean, and if you think about it, you know, Dash did a great job saying, like, even social media, I mean, all of these platforms are important. We should be on the ones that make sense for us. However, the underlying one that always outranks the rest when it comes to importance is your website, because every type of piece of marketing that you do, whether it's SEO, SEM, billboards, you know, direct mail, it all comes back to your website, not mm-hmm. your Instagram page, not your TikTok page. It's going to come back to your website, because your website is where you can collect that information and get people to take that call to action to do that next step with you. So it's always important to make sure that that is a huge focus of what we're doing. And, you know, as said previously, everything you do for SEO can be repurposed. You're creating, again, good, resourceful content that can be repurposed on these social media sites, on your email list, your newsletters, all of that sort. So it really kind of does come back down to it. And a given, SEO is only based off of your website as well. So that is why this is the top tier of where to spend your time when it comes to most of your marketing foundationally, because mm-hmm. that's your 24/7 salesperson. I mean, what other person can you pay so little and they're always up, always awake, always answering, you know, any type of questions, taking forms in? That's your website. It is the biggest badass of your company, and the cheapest one too, usually.
Which I know a lot of companies that we work with have invested a lot of time and money into improving their websites. But I also feel like I come across a lot of companies just in general who don't care about their website presence. And it looks like it's dated. And that to me is the first signal of, I don't know if I trust these guys so much anymore, right? I mean, just as a consumer. So I think I love that we're reiterating the fact that kind of no matter where you are, any size business, trades or not, low revenue, big revenue, you must put time into this. This is, you, like you just said, this is your 24-hour salesperson is your website. So like, let's put the right foot forward first.
Yeah. And if you don't want to consider it as a human, then consider it as the storefront of your business. Yeah. You know, is it easy to find you? You know, do you have good signage? When I come into your business, is everything dirty? Are the floors completely covered in trash? I mean, this is what you think. I mean, the analogy you just gave me, Molly, is you didn't feel good anymore. So imagine going into a store and it feeling dirty and old, not taken care of. You're going to walk back out that front door. And that's what everybody does in the digital world as well. They push the back button. And now you have a bounce on your website because they're finding the next person because they're like, well, I found them for plumber, Savannah, but it just doesn't look good. There's no testimonials. There's no reviews. I mean, there's nothing for me to go off of to even know, are they in business? And so now you've completely gone away from them into the next guy. So someone who maybe did the upfront work on SEO, creating content, but never touched it for years and hasn't updated themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're going backwards and you're losing the value of what you previously had in place. So the thing we all love and hate about marketing is it's an ever going, evolving beast. So I always kind of categorize marketing to diet and exercise. And that's kind of where I like to categorize SEO. Diet and exercise. You need to daily take care of yourself. And I'm not saying daily you need to go into your website, but you know what I mean, guys, like make more of a habit, a consistent habit of going in and adding more content, adding blogs. I mean, doing some things that are not so difficult. I mean, this is all simple strategy, creating more content about what you do on your website and really honing in that practice. That's what foundationally business owners need to have, diet and exercise. But another topic we're going over today is SEM, which I like to analyze as the diet pill. So we can definitely dive into that as well.
Interesting analogy. Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I feel like I've learned more about SEO over the last several months just because of conversations and work, you know, I'm doing on our own website. SEM isn't a place that I've touched as much. And so I'm excited to really learn from you about this pillar. There's various components, various parts of SEM. So break it down for us. What's the umbrella and how do you approach kind of the space?
Yeah. So SEM, search engine marketing. For those who are waiting to see what that M really stood for, it's all about marketing. So when I like to talk about SEM, I'm really going to focus more in on the Google side.
Okay.
Because when we think, and we can go a little bit further outside of that, but the reason I want to start there for every trades contractor listening is majority of times you are in a more reactive style industry, meaning my heater's not working, my roof is leaking, my plumbing is not plumbing. I mean, everything. There is a problem. They are looking for someone to fix it and they find you. This is majority of how the homeowners go through. They're searching to find you. Now, obviously other ways are word of mouth. And you know, if there's flyers, if they have any type of referral, those are obviously there. But if you moved and you do not have any of this Rolodex of people in your disposal, you know, so people unlike us, Molly, people who don't talk to contractors all day, you know, exactly. I could name five plumbers here in Louisville that I would love to recommend to anybody, you know, but we're not obviously the clientele. We have those guys, you know, riding our cell phones, but most homeowners don't, they don't work into the world that we're working into. So the biggest and best way they go is that nice little phone that's in their hand, type in plumbing or heat repair, furnace repair, their city, and they push go. And from there, we see all the results of what Google's trying to show us. Now, with SEO, you'll see organic rankings. With SEM, you will see yourself in the sponsored areas. And let's break down some of those sponsored areas on the Google page, just so everyone knows the capabilities. There's two main ones.
Okay.
The first one is what we call pay-per-click, PPC, with Google. And it is your normal Google Ads. So everyone's heard of Google Ads. It used to be AdWords back in the day. This is where if they type in any type of search word that you want to be found for, you buy that keyword and you will show up for that keyword. And that PPC, that pay per click, all that means is exactly what it says. If you bid on that keyword and someone clicks on it, you will pay for them clicking on that ad and going to your website.
Okay.
So very simple analogies. Luckily, you know, some of these acronyms do work and they do make sense. Mm-hmm. The other one that is very, so much worth mentioning, same letters, but CPC, and that is just cost per click. So this is the first thing Google put out. I mean, as far as an area to advertise yourself was Google AdWords. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna go again. The beauty of 10 years ago was you could probably charge $1 to $5 for heating, roofing, electrical, plumbing, like name any trades. It was not a high cost per click. It works like an eBay system. So a lot of guys weren't in the game of doing ads. So the cost per click was really low. It was pretty new. Every year it has just increased. And sadly, inflation has caught up with Google as well. Mm. I have looked into roofing specifically. It has increased between 50 and 200% cost per click for those keywords. So if you want to rank for a roofer near me, you might've paid $5 10 years ago. You might've paid $50 2 years ago. Now you're pushing higher than that, which yes, it's an insane thing, but it's all somewhat in relativity. And if you do it right, it makes sense because let's just say Molly, a roofer does get that replacement job. They're making what? 20, 30, 40 grand off a new roof.
Right. So, and then hopefully a repeat customer down the line or a referral.
Yes. And they knock on the doors around and they can get you know, hopefully maybe 5 new leads out of that. So that was a $50 click could turn into a 50 grand job, you know, but
yeah.
The world is not that beautiful. And that's not how people search of clicking on their first ad and choosing to go down with you and making this the easiest buying process ever. So it does add up. And we usually see as well with SEM that there can be, it can be a huge range depending on what your industry is, what the need is, the time of the season. You know, I mean, when the weather hits and all these ACs get turned on for the first time and your phone is buzzing off the hooks, I mean, that's where you're going to see a lot higher cost per click because everybody wants to show up because they know homeowners are here now. They are ready. We're going to see it's 80 degrees next weekend. Turn on my ads. I need to turn on all these things. You know, like you can really be there when you're looking for it, but just be prepared. You're going to pay a lot more for it because it is high season.
Right.
But you're getting potentially those views that you would not have gotten otherwise because your SEO is not doing you justice to help you get those guys without having to always spend money on those ads.
When it comes to the PPC versus the CPC, in the pay-per-click component, the bidding on the keywords, is it, you know, you the more you bid on a certain keyword, the higher chances that you will show up for that keyword? I mean, obviously, because you're competing, if you're a painting contractor, if you're a builder, and you're those are specific keywords that you know the 30 other companies in the 100-mile radius are also bidding on.
Yeah.
The more you pay on those specific words, the better chances you will have, I would assume.
Yeah, so it's all about visibility. So the best way to answer this question is if we are a roofing company, and let's just say roofer near me is $30 a click. Now, roofing company A has a budget of $30 a day, which is still huge, guys. I mean, that's, you know, $1,000. I'm not just, you know, using chump change over here. I mean, you're only going to get one potential click a day. And if it's going to take at least 5 clicks to get that person to convert, and when I say that, I might mean 5 people are going to look at this ad before one of them's the right fit and takes action.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of what I mean by it. Not the same person's coming back to your ad each time, you know, but it might take that many people to come through for the right person to read what you have, like it, and be in the right situation to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a company that has a $300 a day budget, you can now get 10 clicks a day. So what that means is Google's trying to show you as much as possible with the budget you set. So if you only get one click a day, it might try to, it doesn't want to list you at 4 a.m. It probably wants to save you around 8, you know, 2 p.m. because once they know that one click's gone, your ad's gone for the rest of the day. You know, it really is trying to set that budget fair throughout the entire month and week, you know, because you might set it at $1,000 a month. Yeah. It might go over a little bit. It might not spend all of it. You know, it's always never perfectly usually on the dot of just 1,000 because the cost per click can change. It could be $30.03. You know, it's never perfect. It literally is eBay. Like, it's just a couple cents higher potentially from when you're going into the algorithm bidding system.
Interesting.
So it's kind of where you have to be smart when you do it, when you do SEM. You're going to have to spend the right amount to show up the right amount. So that's kind of where you're not going to show up more necessarily, but you will be showing more because you are allowed to exist longer in the game because you have the money within your wallet for Google to continue to show you until all that's spent.
So it really is a game because there's probably about like finding what is that perfect amount that gets you shown enough, but is versus like spending $1,000 a month versus $2,500 or $3,000, maybe you're not seeing that return on that additional $1,500 to $2,000. So it's like, what's just enough versus what's too much, that like the sweet spot of what our spend needs to be to get that visibility. And that doesn't come from doing it 1, 2, 3 months. I mean, that's a pattern of doing it for a little while, actually like being very attentive to your metrics. Like, there's not a set it and forget it. It's correct. You're watching it constantly.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where, you know, if you're going to set up a Google Ads campaign, I really suggest getting with someone, any marketing company like ourselves, because what our job is to do is to look, see what that cost per click looks like, see how many leads you want to get out of it, and then do the math for you. You know, and we could do math all day, but let's be honest, guys, it's a Thursday. We're close to the weekend. Molly and I do not want to have to figure all that out and probably get these numbers wrong.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's the whole point of it is we can see, hey, that cost per click is $30. You know, so if a roofer does come to me and they say, hey, Brittany, I want to put $500 a month into my ads, what do you think? I could say, well, that'll be gone in 8 clicks. So hopefully you'll get a lead out of it. Is one lead worth $500 to you? And from there, they can make the decision. I mean, that's kind of where we can give you those numbers to look at it. But also if you've been running this yourself, if maybe you had some ads up, I mean, it's kind of where what we suggest is like, you want to tweak that as you're using it, because you'll see, am I always hitting that $1,000? I mean, Google is spending $1,000, $1,009 every single month. Well, Google's asking you for more money, basically, if they're always hitting it. Let's bump it up a little bit. So maybe next month we'll do 1,500. Okay, well, we've hit 1,500 every month. All right, we'll bump it up to 2. And I mean, given I'm not just saying bump it up because, you know, you just have money to spend. Ideally, you're seeing the right number of leads come from that budget. And that's what you're trying to, and this is just if you're doing it on your own and playing with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people have used Home Advisor, Angie's List. I mean, these are guys where you can change your budget every day. So I have a lot of contractors that do that. The ads you can do that with as well, but you don't have to change it daily. You know, you want to sit on it, see what it does, and then make changes, because basically you're buying data from Google when you run these ads and you're, you know, kind of buying that traffic from it. So you kind of figure out the sweet spot for yourself. And that does come with time, you know, and PPC should not only be run during your high season, guys. I mean, this is something you want to start a month or two prior to high season, because what that allows us to do is see it, test it, improve it. And by the time the high season comes and that cost per click improves, we've made sure that your ads, what your ads say, the call to action on your ads is actually working before it gets more expensive. Because what you don't want is it be more expensive and not work any better for you. So that's kind of why you want to make sure you're testing things. And also Google does slap your wrist a little bit if you turn on and turn off your ads a lot.
Interesting. So I did not know that.
Yeah. They want to make money. Let's be honest. Who doesn't these days with all these platforms? But they want some consistency and they reward consistency. So I tell a lot of my guys, if they went from spending $2,000 a month and it's December and no one's looking for a concrete or asphalt, you know, company, then turn that down to $100 that month. You know, keep it on, but just really lower it, you know. And really, sometimes you don't have to lower it if you forget and you're lazy. Well, if you're in Kentucky and it is snowing, again, I'm not Googling for an asphalt person most likely, which means I'm not going to click on your ad, which means you're not going to spend that money. So
it's only spending if the click happens.
Yes. And so that's kind of where, you know, this may be expensive, but it really is a good step for branding, not just conversion, because at least they're seeing your name because you're popping up for these services. And that's where SEO reviews, all these other things are going to make this more of a holistic plan together. Because even if they click on that ad, remember, they need to go to a good landing page that's going to make them convert.
I was going to say these obviously have to complement each other. I'm going to make an assumption here, so tell me if I'm wrong. You should not be doing or spending money on SEM if you have not put any work into your website or your SEO plan.
Absolutely.
It's a waste of money, essentially.
Yeah, it is. And I'm okay with layering them. So I'm okay. Yeah. If you came to me, Molly, as your personal trainer and said, hey, I want to get bikini body ready by May. What do I need to do, girlfriend? And I would say, well, diet and exercise first, because if you keep putting that Taco Bell in your mouth, nothing's going to change. But also while you're eating better, eating cleaner, hey, here's a little Ozempic to throw in on this. That's going to, you know, help expedite as well.
Yeah.
You can do that, but you need to have, again, that foundational best practice, because you can run a million ads and a lot of advertisements. But again, Molly, if you go to a website that's old, outdated, no new reviews, no new projects, nothing new at all, you get a little itchy because you're like, okay, why is there nothing new? Do they not close people? Or is there nothing for them to be proud of in the last 3 years? You know, you start to get a little worry and hesitation. And let's be honest, everybody's scared of the trades. They are so scared that they're going to be taken advantage of and swindled. And unfortunately, it has happened in this industry, hand over fist. So that's why we get the stereotype of it. But your website helps break the ice and showcase, I know what I'm doing, and we're going to do the best job possible for you. That's what we stand for. So you can run as many ads as you want all day, but if that's not the message they get to when they get to your website, and that's not just because that's slathered on there in text, you have proof of concept all of your website that should be added with it.
I love it. I love I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with someone from my team. We were talking about advanced financials and the balance sheet, and he did a lot of analogies. And I was like, that's a really helpful analogy. He said, well, if I can't give you an analogy and explain it, I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Which makes so much sense. So you able to connect it just to other ways and how we can kind of shift how we interpret it. Makes a lot of sense. So clearly, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, this doesn't need to be confusing for contractors. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, you know, you demystified SEO on a previous previous episode. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of what marketing strategists should do for you is, again, I've written enough content to probably know how to replace my shingle roof. Does that mean I want to? Hell no.
Yeah.
Do you want to write content on shingle versus metal versus single sink? I mean, no, roofing contractors don't want to either. So that's why we need each other. And just as much as a homeowner can appreciate a contractor coming in and laying things down so simply for a homeowner to understand, that's what we need to do as well, because they need to be taking advantage of this, because unfortunately, a lot of mom and pops are suffering because they're not taking advantage of the marketing that these bigger guys are doing. And let's be honest, there are more PE firms buying contractors than there ever has been. And those PE firms, those private equity, the venture capitalists, they are spending money on marketing because they absolutely know the worth and the value of it.
So I would imagine you have gotten this question a lot. I mean, you've been doing marketing in this space for many years, both trades and not. So you have kind of a breadth of knowledge here. And one thing that we have talked about in previous podcasts, and I think you and I talked about it is, and you just spoke to it, that marketing strategists should be explaining these things to you in ways that you understand it. And so often that's not the case. So often we hear from our clients, they don't understand what they're getting. They don't know if what they're spending makes sense. They feel like they're being talked over versus talked to. I can imagine that's something that you've heard before. And so I can tell that's not who you are, which is great. What is your approach to that? I mean, when you have talked to somebody who's interested in working with you guys, and that's a fear of theirs in buying, essentially, you know, your services, how do you explain to them like what you do? How do you talk to them like they get it?
Yeah, well, kind of like the question I asked you, Molly, am I allowed to cuss? I mean, one thing for sure is you have to be on the same level as one another. I mean, the quick story about me is my dad was a pipe fitter for 30 years. So I kind of grew up in the trades. So, you know, his knowledge on everything, water, plumbing, and how to make sure no one dies in a building.
Yeah.
Level 10. I will never get to the understanding of what he has, but he can dumb it down for me. So therefore I understand how it works. And also he really didn't want me to be in the trade. So he really kind of like, this is awful. See how bloody your hands get from turning sprinklers, you know, just like really not made it look glorious. And that's kind of where I have to be honest. Marketing's not glorious. It's not sexy at times, you know,
yeah.
Business owners loathe having to do marketing. And that's kind of why it's because it, no one makes it easy to understand. And that really is the goal of this is let me make this simple enough. You understand what we need to be doing and what the strategy should look like on how we get from point A to point B. Because if I can make you understand and have enough knowledge of what that looks like, how to get from point A to point B, then we can have a more honest and open conversation while we're going through the strategy because we built that trust and rapport. And I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, if you're like, hey, you know, I just want, I'll put $5,000 a month into ads. Sure, Brittany, you know, like this sounds great. And I go to your website and it looks like trash. We're going to have open conversation. Yeah, sure, bud. You can give me $5,000 a month, but don't expect jack shit for it. Yeah. Well, what do you mean, Brittany? Well, look at everything else going on. I'm a homeowner. I've been a homeowner for almost a decade also. This is what I would look for. Mm-hmm. And you don't have any of these things. So it's just really bringing it down as much as possible because most businesses that are not, you know, private or have not been bought by, you know, private equity firm, they are usually run and generational. So you're kind of somewhat stuck in what worked for us previously should always work. Mm-hmm. And word of mouth has now turned into more of a digital word of mouth. And you have to absolutely, you know, really take advantage of that and not only want to be stuck in the past, because if you do get those ways and you don't want to talk to someone like me because we make it confusing, then we really will leave you in the dust. And I'll be honest, if every HVAC company is owned by a PE firm, the price is going to hike up. So it's also my goal to make sure we have small businesses because these are the guys that bring competition to it. So sorry, those are really long-winded way to say how I'm doing it. But the analogy here is if you were coming to me to consult as a homeowner to replace whatever it is that you do, how you would talk to me is how you should expect your marketer to talk to you. I don't know how to replace my plumbing. So what happens, bud? The toilet overflowed. What happens next? Well, we're going to turn off the main. We're going to A, B, C, D. And you explain it to me really nicely, make me understand and point out how you're doing it. I built trust. You're going to work for me now, bud. Thank you. I have to do the exact same back to you. What is SEM? Like, and let's even stop calling it SEM. You know, like what is Google Ads versus a different type of ad? Yeah. Where are they showing you on the homepage? Where do you want to be? What do you think represents what your business needs? And let me help make the game plan for that. So it really is just making sure you're understanding things as much as possible, because one thing I do want to touch on in the ads is actually, it's not new. It's been around for about 2-3 years, but it is newer for a lot of contractors. And it's something that's a lot simpler nowadays as well. If you'd like to get into LSA ads, Molly.
I don't know about LSA ads.
Okay. Well, this is going to be really fun. Let me throw another acronym in.
Yeah. What is maybe I don't know the acronym. So what is LSA ads?
And most people don't know the acronym. So LSA is local service ads, AKA Google guaranteed ads.
Yes.
So
okay. Sound more familiar? I do know Google guaranteed. That was going to be my next question for you is because I've had a lot of clients start doing, you know, Google guaranteed and some see success, some don't. I think it might be regional. That's so acronyms got me there.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into it really quickly, just as a review. And regular Google ads, so not LSA, your regular Google ads, your PPC, they're going to show up as text at the very top. And then also if you turn on your location extension, you can show up in the maps as well. So a reason we love Google ads, even though they can get ridiculously expensive, is you're showing up number one, text-wise, which doesn't always get the best conversion, but you can also potentially, when Google wants you to, because they get the say of when it shows up and when it doesn't, you could show up in the map pack. And so that's where you're next to the top three closest competitors to who the person is searching are showing up. So you have a really great chance of getting conversions when you can show up in the maps.
Okay.
LSA or Google guaranteed ads are just a hair different. So a lot of times they don't show up in the map. They show up above the map in a Google guaranteed little banner, and it will have basically linked to your Google business profile. And it's technically not your Google business profile. It's your Google guaranteed profile because not all of your reviews transfer over. Just a few do until you build reviews on your LSA account. But the beauty, what we love is it's no longer pay per click. You are not paying per click with LSA. You are paying per lead. Now, I mentioned Angie's List. I mentioned Home Advisor. I mentioned a few things earlier. I would kill those businesses. I absolutely hate them, Molly. I'm trying to keep these cuss words in my mouth, but I loathe
Not a fan.
Them. Not a fan at all. And because they have to make money too. So if you're paying $20 or $50 for a roofing lead, well, they got the lead. But they have five roofing contractors willing to spend $50 a piece. So guess what? They just made $250 because they sent that lead to all of the five contractors in roofing who are willing to take a lead for that area. So let me squash this really quick. LSA okay. Google Guaranteed, nothing like those boys at all. It is a direct call from that person when they click on your ad, goes directly to you. So it's not being sent across to five different people. Mm-hmm. If they click on your LSA ad, they are coming to you and talking to you alone. So it is a little bit sometimes higher of a, you know, obviously it's cost per lead, yep. you know, so it is a little bit of a higher cost associated with that. But some of my HVAC guys are getting leads for between $30 to $50 when that's sometimes a cost per click with Google in their area, depending on where they're located. So now I have a guaranteed someone calling me versus just a click for the same price. And I don't know if they're actually going to end up converting or not. So much more easier on the wallet, so to say, because okay. you are paying per leads. And the beauty of Google Guaranteed, it everybody needs to take advantage of, is if you're a good business owner, you have a good process, a good operation. And what mm-hmm. I mean by that simply, to really drive the hammer home, you need to answer the phone. You need to answer the phone well, and you need to do a damn good job of having that initial phone call with ever who is calling lead wise. And the reason I'm really honing in on this, and it's kind of a little soapbox I like to get on,
yeah.
is because you're paying for that person to call you. So if Nancy isn't having a great day and answers the phone, "Hi, what do you need?" You just lost $50.
Right.
That lead is not going to use you most likely, you know, and if you're not doing a good job of asking what they're looking for, you don't get the full benefit of LSA, because what LSA does is you can dispute bad leads. Oh. A bad lead only qualifies as someone who is asking for a service you do not offer. So if you are trying to rank for only roofing repair and replacement, and someone calls you for gutters, you answer the phone simply, "So sorry, we don't work on gutters." And then you can go to your LSA dashboard, dispute it, wrong service. And the AI will listen to it, sometimes automatically give you back, you know, that dispute money. So you get that $50 back in your pocket to spend on the next lead. So you can actually have a lower monthly budget with it and get more leads than you can with PPC at times. Does that make sense? How awesome
yeah,
that
no,
kind of
it does.
Works?
It does. I love that there's the ability to dispute it, and that there's like a check with AI that happens. But it reinforces how important that first phone call is, that client experience from the moment you say, "Hello, thank you for calling so-and-so business. How can I help you today?" If there's not a smile coming through over that phone, you are in trouble.
Absolutely. And I test call, you know, I want to see what the experience is like, because you're spending good money. And if people aren't converting, I need to know why. Is it us?
Yeah.
Is it something else? Is it you? And I unfortunately find that when I call, I'm only going to a voicemail. I'm going to a voicemail that's maybe not even set up. I've gone to a voicemail that the first 3 seconds were so scratchy in it, because I called twice to make sure it wasn't like my connection.
Yeah.
You couldn't hear the name of the business. I mean, I've listened to phone calls, call recordings for our clients where someone left a message. "I think I'm calling ABC Construction. Give me a call back if this is the right number." I mean, the confidence that just dissipated from that homeowner's body. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to want to use you after that, you know? And so that's one method of it. Also, the person who answers the phone, Molly, yes, that smile over the phone, clearly mm-hmm. enunciating where they just called, making sure they're landing and feeling comfortable from the moment they get with you is huge. Because if you can do that, then you can make the most money out of LSA. Because again, they have to ask for the right service in the right area. So again, if you're only targeting two zip codes and someone calls from 30 miles away and you do not do repair jobs that far and you're listed as not doing that, then you can also dispute that with Google. You can't take the lead though. Let's be clear. You can't take the lead and then try to get the money back from Google. They listen to all the phone calls, but you can dispute that because they're outside of your service area. So it's a really beautiful thing to see, hey, I'm going to spend money on advertisement, but I don't want to spend it on anybody and it not work.
Yeah.
Then LSA would be one of the first places I say to go ahead and spend that money, because it's going to be the best practice to answer the calls, start tracking how this is working and seeing what the results are coming from this. You can make adjustments of, hey, maybe we should continue to only put money in Google Guaranteed, or, hey, this is working well, I'm ready to invest more. And I'll only show up so much for LSA, because LSA works of, let's say you set a $1,000 budget. Mm-hmm. If you only get 10 leads and they're $50 each, then you've only spent half your budget for the month, you know, so you have another 500 that could roll over to the next month. But so sometimes you might see you'll max out before you spent all of it. Sometimes you might not even show up. I have a gutter installation company I'm talking with that's in two cities, and they have $2,000 set aside for both cities for LSA ads, and no LSA ads are showing up. But what's funny, Molly, is everybody else in roofing and gutters is showing up for regular AdWords, PPC AdWords. So I do not work for Google. I do not know all of the secret sauce of what they do, but our assumption is, and that's why you have to do your own research in your area, is our assumption is so many people are bidding with the cost per click, regular PPC AdWords, that Google's making so much money from it, it doesn't make sense for them to lose some of that space on the top of the first page.
For the LSAs.
For the LSA ads, because they might make the same amount of a click as they would a lead. And they're going to get 10 times more clicks and they're going to get leads potentially. So it's a battle of where the money's spent, but that's why it really kind of comes down to A, talk to a strategist and we can help you look at this, but B, if you're listening right now and you say like, I got to know I'm spending money, I don't know which one it's going to, just do a quick Google search from your phone, like be somewhat near the area you want to do business in, type in your industry, type in that city, and then see what's popping up. So are only Google AdWords popping up? Are five of them popping up? Or is one popping up or none? But and then maybe there's one LSA. Well, get next to the LSA guy, because a given you can more so guarantee what you're going to be spending because you have that process in place. And given Google does not always automatically give you that dispute money back, but you can talk to a human after you wait on, you know, the line for a few minutes.
It's really hard to get on the phone with Google. How do you do that?
Actually through the dashboard. So if you dispute it and it does not work, it says, you know, we rejected your dispute, then there is a call number that you can go to directly. So they do make it simple on how to get there. What we found is that they will only answer one dispute at a time. So you just have to have all of your phone numbers ready and say, I have 8 disputes I want to go over with you on. And they'll say, okay, because no one likes to work at Google's, you know, customer support center. You know, they'll listen to them for you. They take the number, they go listen, they come back, and they basically say if they approve or reject that. So that's why you have to be very clear on the phone, because I have had contractors, office managers answer the phone and they say, well, we don't do that, but, you know, let me ask the owner, maybe we could make an exception for you and help with that. Google hears a maybe, you get counted because you're trying to use that as a lead potentially. And you might be like, well, but the owner said no. On the phone, we heard you say you possibly couldn't, you check on it. So you have to be very stringent with it. I mean, it is a lot more, you know, a little bit at risk, but the reward is so huge for it because you are directly on the phone, on the line with someone who says, hi, this is broken. When can you come down to check it out for me? And that's the beauty. That's what you want.
Yeah. I mean, this reiterates like other parts of the business and why, I mean, one, like do your front end folks know what your service offerings are and are not to like, let's prevent confusion there. I mean, that leads into, you know, communication and, you know, what resources do they have to maybe do a check on what we do and do not have. Are we hiring the right seats on the bus? Are the person that we have answering that phone, should they be answering that phone? Maybe they're really good at accounting or they're really good at scheduling or resource coordinating, but they're not the best phone skills. Get them off the phone.
Yeah.
Don't assume one person should fit all of the roles within the front office staff. I mean, that doesn't work. And you have to be looking. You're right. It's not just, I love that you said when in terms of like some, that the gutter business, they're spending this money. You also want to see where that money is going, what's working, what's not. And is it the ads? Is it how the calls are being answered? I mean, I'm combining stories here, but it just shows that there's a lot of factors that impact the return on your investment at the end of the day.
Yeah. And that's why sales and marketing are in the same category almost, because how we do marketing relies 1000% on how you complete the sale. You know, as a marketer, I can send as many people as your way as money will allow, but if you are not closing them, if the process does not feel good, if it feels they don't feel comfortable, they're not getting that handholding they're maybe expecting, then they're not going to want to choose to work with you. And that usually comes down to the marketer's fault. Let's be honest. It's so much easier to blame us, but I've I mean, that's why we have call tracking. I want to listen to calls and see what's going on. And if I can see you're not answering the phone 30% of the time, well, Google still charged you for that lead, just so you know. I didn't. And I chose for you to answer the phone, but you chose not to. So you have to think 30% of your business is just being washed down the toilet because you don't have that system in place to do that. Mm-hmm. So once you do start answering 100% or 99% of it, what does the process look like through there? Because again, the best way to picture that is if you were to come into my home and sell me a brand new roof, how comfortable do you feel you have to make me in that, you know, first face-to-face interaction? That's the same way you need to make me feel on the phone the first time to even have you want to come to my home.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things really lie up, and it's, you know, as a business coach like yourself, that's why these things play a whole holistic to what you're doing in the business. And you can't just blame it on one thing. You need to look at all parts of the strategy and make mm-hmm. sure they work together. I can't say enough how many times I've, you know, had to really just be blunt with people of, well, Sean, you're not answering the phone. You can point the finger at me all you want, but I can see right here 50% are going unanswered. So I don't know how much money you've lost us at this point, you know, and it's not a fun conversation to have. But I mean, as I said, business owners are so busy that's why I'd rather be blunt and direct with you and say, hey, do you know this is happening? And unfortunately, a lot of times the business owners didn't know that.
Correct.
But, oh, well, I had Sandra, you know, answering the phone. I thought she was answering all of them. Well, it looks like she's away from her desk quite a bit. You know, and when she does answer them, it looks like she just broke with her boyfriend because she is not in a good mood at all and does not want to service these people. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's why it's really important to just work on the business versus just working within it, because you need to be able to see what are all these things. And a strategist like myself can help you look at the bigger picture marketing wise. But as a business owner, you're the only one that can really put these changes into place and make mm-hmm. sure that your team is following on it. Because yes, you need to have the right people on the bus, the wrong people off the bus, and the right people in the right seats to make your business run as effectively as possible. And now I'm blanking on the guy's name that said that, but very
the right seats on the bus.
Yes.
I don't know. Is it, did you say Gary?
It's not Gary Keller.
Oh, we're going to look this up.
I know. Now we have to know. Jim Collins.
Jim Collins, getting the right people in the right seats over time. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a very good book on that. And I mean, you know, that has to do with a lot of hiring and seat placement, but that's what goes back to marketing. You know, if we're trying yeah. to use what assets you have good assets there that are good assets for your company, because mm-hmm. they are going to pull you apart. And when all of this marketing kind of comes together.
And it also reiterates, you know, if you are intentionally spending a certain amount of money each month and putting effort towards your marketing, make sure you're having those monthly meetings and checking in on the metrics, understanding why things aren't working the way they are. As a business owner, even if you've got a marketing director or whoever you have in the business, make sure that there are some connection points that you understand what is actually happening, how that spend is being appropriated, and what's actually coming in. And there's conversations that come from it. It's not
yes.
the data creates the story at the end of the day. I mean, that's with financials. The financials tell the story of the business, and the marketing metrics are doing the same exact thing. You just have to pull it apart a little bit more.
Yeah. And that's kind of where you made a really great point there. You know, marketing is something that you can change it all the time, but you really shouldn't. You need to do something, test it, let it do its thing, mm-hmm. and then make assessments and judgments off of how that performed. You know, so yes, monthly meetings to check in on this are a really beautiful time frame. You know, and that's whether your marketing manager in-house or the strategist you're working with should have those meetings with you, should have monthly reporting, because you want to see year over year. You know, I mean, we know that a lot of times, you know, depending on where you live, April to June, July, August is kind of like your busiest season with weather.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, outside of that, not as much busy. So when you can actually look at these things and compare year over year, you can see the changes and adjustments you've made through that. But if you are editing every single week and, you know, making changes too often, sometimes it's harder to put your finger on what worked. But right. if you put something out and after a week, nothing's happening, then yes, make a change. Please do not just sit there and be like, well, Brittany said, wait a month, I'm just going to let this money sit here. No, guys, we know better than that.
Yeah.
Make some changes. But also, you know, especially when you go to that SEO side, Dash made a great point to this. I mean, it could take 6 months for something you've done to rank. And yeah. now you're sitting there twiddling your fingers. It's been 6 days. I mean, this is an awful company I'm working with. No, hopefully this is a good company, but if it yeah. is a good company, It does not happen overnight. And that's kind of where the whole beauty of this conversation is. You want to have diet and exercise in your life all the time. We want to be healthy, 80 and past. Like, we want to live forever as healthy as possible in our bodies, because once our bodies fail, our minds fail, it's not as fun to live. So you want that good process to keep yourself healthy as possible. You want to start that as soon as possible. The best time to have started SEO is also the best time to have planted a tree 10 years ago. The next best time is today. Start now to kind of do these things. And over top of your SEO, while you're working on that, you can layer on these ads. You can layer on LSA ads. You can layer on Google PPC ads. And the beauty of this is you can get a mix of marketing happening, quick results and long-term results. Because the way I like to look at this is, you might always spend money on ads, but you don't want to rely 1000% on ads to do the dirty work for you. Because if you can rank well SEO wise, then that's kind of free 99. I mean, yes, you're probably paying a monthly budget to someone, but it's an unlimited amount. It's not, they charge you per click or per lead. It's a flat monthly rate of $2,000 and you got 20 leads off of it. And maybe those 20 leads fully closed. So yes, it was $100 per lead, but your CPC ended up being 200 per lead. You know, you can really see forth these things where you want to have some good diet and exercise with this, because one of the best places to rank in SEO is in that map pack, because it's the first thing on our phones. It's one of the first things on our screens. I can click on you to go to your website and click get directions if I need to go to you. I can see reviews. I can see about the business. I mean, you can see so much good juice within a Google business profile. Totally. You need to focus on that. You know, like
that's been a big one for the last couple of years. I've been, and a lot of our clients now have great GMBs, but there's still some that I come across that I'm like, there's some really quick fixes you guys could do right here that are just, that's your free real estate. It's a no-brainer, because we work with businesses of all different sizes, you know, revenue wise, and marketing spend can feel daunting to a lot of those who are in that $1 to $2.5 million, you know, rev space versus those who are doing 5 to 10 to 15, they have more money to play with. Yeah. But it's what can you do at different levels? And your SEO is where you got to start. But the bigger you get as a company, the more you're going to have to get into this. You play the game, getting in and getting that strategy. You really have, this is my takeaway from this call is, the larger you get with your business, you must be having strategy discussions about your marketing and how you're taking that spend and using it effectively and efficiently. And are you watching it? And are you making changes to it?
Yes. I mean, it's your livelihood.
A little bit. It is your livelihood. Out of what is your SEO versus, you know, SEM, what most excites you about the changes that you're seeing now? I mean, as you said, 10 years ago to now, everything's so different. AI is obviously in the mix. That's not new. I feel like every month there's something that's changing. But what excites you most about this, the marketing space, digital marketing space, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, Bloom specializes in omni-channel marketing. So what's very fun for me is, how do all of these things layer over one another perfectly to create the right marketing approach for your business? Honestly, the other side of things that I really like is when you can take marketing into your own hands. And one way to take it into your own hands is have enough knowledge and be able to do things. And I really put this more towards that Google guaranteed LSA ads. I'm a big fan of them, Molly. And one of the main reasons is because you can do it yourself. Okay. And most marketers don't want to give you things and tools that you can take your own and never have to call us again. You know, it's kind of anti-business.
Yeah.
But this is something where, yes, Molly, you need a good website. Let's create content that helps SEO. You know, let's get reviews on our Google business page. You know, all of those things feed into a good SEO strategy. But hey, put some money into LSA. Once you have your Google business profile set up, all you have to do is go and claim to do Google guaranteed. They'll do a background check. And basically, once you get verified, you're allowed to run those ads. And what I love is you can get through it yourself if you want. Obviously, places like myself have services to help you if you're like, please don't make me lift a finger in this process. But for the guys who have time and no money, you can easily go to YouTube, how to set up my LSA profile, my Google guaranteed profile. Right. Honestly, just Google guaranteed, and Google walks you through it yourself. I mean, it is like creating a Facebook page. So simple. They're just asking for your industry, where you want to show up and what services you want to show up for and what your budget is. That is literally it, because it's connected to your Google business profile. So as long as you have that, that data pulls over for you, and they pull over usually about 3 reviews off of that profile to start your LSA off with. But your LSA will need to get its own reviews to increase, you know, what it can do for yourself. But it really is, you can set up yourself, you can dispute yourself, and you can really have an ad process that's not as intense as maybe the bigger guys are doing, because they are layering PPC with LSA, with SEO, with another acronym, with another acronym, with another acronym. You know, yeah. I'm sure people hate me having to say all those together, you know, but that's the point of it. Pick and choose what's the best for your business. And Molly, if you're a brand new business starting, LSA, you need to go ahead and get that started after your website, your GMB, because they all do play with that. That would be a great place to spend money if you do not have a lot of it, because remember, you're only spending what comes in, and you can dispute what's not good. So you can get some money back as you're going through this process. You can actually get more leads out of it versus, you know, Google AdWords. But again, like my gutter friend I'm talking to, LSA is not showing up in their area. So that strategy might not work for everybody. I've noticed as well, rurally, you're having a lot more bang for your buck, and you might not need as much ads because proximity is a big ranking factor with SEO. And maybe there's no plumbers within a 50-mile proximity of you. Well, then you really don't got to do much, my man. Like, focus on SEO. You can rank. You know, you might not need to run ads because no one's running ads in your area as well. And you can show up just because you're the closest guy to those areas. So, I mean, this is where, A, do some research, Google yourself, Google your competitors, see what's going on. If you don't want to do it, don't know how to do it, you know, talk to a marketing strategist that will do this for you, because we can tell you, hey, you need to put a little bit of money here, a little bit of money here. Wait on this. You know, maybe this is a good place for us. Maybe this isn't just yet. And to your point, Molly, as you grow, that's when you should expand. You know, you should put more money into the things you're doing if they're working, but also think of what that other area might look like, because there might be a whole area you haven't tapped into just because you haven't put any money into it yet. And it could be where everybody actually is going, like digital display ads, you know, that show up on the apps, you know, you're on, you know, those little banners. I mean, there's many advertising programs like that, that we could help you with that. You know, if that's the only way to, for people to find you, then you need to be there for them to get to that. But what I love about more of the Google search SEO and ads is that the search intent's there. People are typing in your service looking to find you. So it's kind of where with homeowners, we really like to start with those places, because we know that's where people are going to find their, you know, their online yellow pages directory. You know, I mean, none of us are really keeping the phone book anymore. So we're going to Google, seeing the list. And the thing the yellow pages couldn't do before was like show reviews, you know, so like we're getting so much more business information at our fingertips. You need to focus on what your first impression looks like and then really expand from there as you grow, as you have the money. And you do need to put as much as you can into marketing, because, you know, I have businesses in that 5 to 10 million range that don't want to put more than like 1% into it.
Oh,
and they're wondering why they're plateaued.
We typically see a spend of anywhere from like 3.5 to 5%. That obviously increases month over month, but the average for the year is kind of tends to fall in there across all the industries that we work with. But there are some who are spending 8 to 10. I mean, concrete coatings tends to spend a good bit more, and it's their cost per lead is really high, and it's tough to swallow sometimes.
It is, you know? It is, and that's kind of where
that's business.
And that's kind of the hard part. It depends on your industry. The bigger, I mean, in all these places, the bigger the end job for you, like if it is roof replacement versus roof repair, it's a higher cost per click because Google knows you're going to make more money off of it. So they want to make more money off of it. You know, they know you're going to get 30 grand off this job. Well, they can charge you more because they know you're willing to pay it because, okay, well, spending 100 and getting 30 grand. Well, Molly, I will give you as many $100 bills as I can find in the next 5 minutes to get 30 grand off of each of those. You know, it makes perfect sense. However, maybe for appliance repair, the ticket's maybe 300 on average. Well, the cost per click's a lot lower because they know you're not going to make as much off of it and they want you to spend. So that's why there is these ranges and these volumes that go in. And, you know, I could say that for appliance repair in, you know, one of the smaller towns in Kentucky, $3 to $5 a click, you know, super simple. You're getting a pretty good ROI off of it. Take that appliance repair business to Chicago, and that could go up to $30 to $50 a click. I mean, like it really is dependent on where you live, what the competition looks like. And that's why you have to do your own research. You need to know, what am I expected to go against? And that's where you need to make the strategy from. Because again, where do you want to end up? Like what is the vision of how you want to see yourself in the end of it? Okay, well, what are the steps we need to do to get there? Like literally you're building the strategy with the end in mind.
Yeah. I mean, that's building, that's business planning, right? That's building a business. That's from a larger perspective, that's what we talk about with our clients every day. And that's what you're doing in the marketing scope.
Yes. And that's kind of why it's hard, because most people want to maybe throw in social media, throw in emails, you know, they throw in a lot of things, but
yeah.
Problem is, when you just throw them in, well, was that a part of getting us to where we need to go?
Right.
You know, so that's why you have to build that. I mean, when I say, you know, not just build with the end in mind, like build out what that whole strategy looks like over the course of a year to 3 years, because you might not be able to afford to do any social media this year. You know, maybe no one in your area is doing it, but maybe next year you see, wow, all the HVAC guys in my town are running tons of ads on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook. Should I be going there? I mean, now you can build it in, but yeah, once we got to this budget, we were going to start to do this, you know, like that was kind of the goal of this. Right. Is it's a layering, you know, like, and marketing is all about layering. I mean, it's pretend you're going to go out and hike in the desert. It's going to be cold as hell in the beginning and hot as hell in the middle and back to cold. So like, you want to see your busy season doing a lot of things leading up to it and winding down from it. You know, and that's kind of the fun part with seasonal businesses, is these things will change throughout the course of the year. Just make sure you're doing them at the right time to correspond with that time of year.
Totally. And it just, to me, it sounds like buckle up, because like marketing's a ride.
Yes. Buckle up, buttercup. I've said that quite a few times to my contractors, because there's so much going on.
I love it. Well, Brittany, thank you so much. This was a really great conversation. I mean, I learned a lot, which is always my favorite part of these conversations. Any last words that you kind of like to share or say about this space?
Yeah, you can do it. I mean, I know that, again, marketing is not fun or sexy for a lot of people. And Molly, I talked to you before this. At times I am pulling my hair out as well. It's not fun when you're having to look at all of this and you're not curious why things are working. You have to dive in, but that is the point. I mean, this is an aspect of your business. You have got to dive in, both feet into the waters, and either you need to do that with yourself or find someone you trust. But even when you find someone you trust, you have to double check them. Like, I expect all of the people that I have sold anything to ask me, is this working? Is there anything else we should be doing? You know, like, I want you to stay involved with this, because if it only falls on me, then it's only my input. And the whole point is this to be a partnership and kind of go with this. So, I'm so grateful you've had me on, Molly. The thing that I would love to lastly say to everybody is, please take this advice, use it, run with it. But if you have heard this and you also want to pull out your hair, because all of this sounds like, that's great, Brittany, that sounds awesome, I do not have the time, I do not want to look at this ever, then I offer anyone who's listening that's gotten to the end of this podcast, we do free strategy sessions. So if you would like for me to actually look at your Google ads or look at what LSA looks like in your area, look at your website, check out your SEO. Like, hey, whether you're working with someone or not working with someone, I am happy to always brainstorm and help create what a general strategy should be for you, so you're on the right path. Again, there's nothing wrong against PE firms, but I don't want you to get bought out. I want you to own and rock that business and make sure you do everything possible. So if you would like that strategy session, all you have to do is find me on our website, and actually you can go to brittany.bloomconsultingfirm.com. And that is where you can find our free strategy session page, where you can book a time on my calendar and give me the info about your website, and I will do all the background and come prepared to our meeting to kind of help talk through, where are you trying to go? How do we need to get there? And really kind of pull this beautifully together for you. So brittany.bloomconsultingfirm.com. And I'd be happy to make this not sound like Spanish to you.
I love it. Well, and don't be surprised if you do this and you don't have a great website. She's going to tell you.
Oh, I'm going to tell you all right. You've had first warning here from Molly and I. Yeah. I will not lie to your face. I will tell you if your baby's ugly. But the whole point is, I can fix that.
You can fix it. Oh, Brittany, thank you. Thank you so much. This is awesome. I look forward to future, you know, podcast with you going, and you know, in the future. I think there's obviously a lot, you know, we won't even like at like the surface on this on this topic, and things, as you said, are constantly changing, and so if we're not talking about it, then our clients aren't knowing about it, and so our goal is to keep our clients aware and just of all the things that they have access to and all the resources that are out there. So thank you very much. Hourglass is recorded and produced by the team at Nolan Consulting Group, a nationwide business coaching and consulting firm with coaches located throughout the country. Have a question, comment, or idea for future episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website, www.nolanconsultingfirm.com.